We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle.
CPAC, Trump just said he's trying to cover his bald spot. So
bald spot? What's the matter with his bald spot?
he's always messing with his hair. You know, he's trying to get his hair just right.
Did he actually say that while he was addressing
CPAC? Oh, yeah. It's trending on Twitter. It's really funny.
His bald spot. Wow. Let me ask you both. Did he have surgery here, transplant?
I don't think so. I think it's just all his own, but it's like 3 feet long and wound around in certain directions to cover.
Yeah, it's a tippity-doo-da-day or some sort. Yeah. Ava, do you think he had hair transplant, hair surgery?
I think there's some plugs there.
Yeah, something. I seen a picture. Did you see that picture that was online at one point where he had a scar in his head and he had like surgery or something there?
Yeah.
That was just, yeah.
Using the two guys.
It's probably where he had a brain transplant or something. He's probably so smart, man. He's probably got somebody's brain, Einstein's brain or something, you know?
Okay, the stable genius. Leave this man alone.
He could be a genius. Some people say that's true. All right, let's talk about CPAC a little bit. That seems to be a big story today, guys. You've been following CPAC, Jim, a bit?
Yeah, it sounded more like a comedy routine than a political speech. I mean, yeah, it was right. Just one thing after another.
Well, it's like homecoming. It's like coming. It's like, it feels like homecoming to me. Is that what you mean? It's like everybody's sort of relaxed, and you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. Is it like the good old boys club or something?
These are my people.
These are your people.
I got there 2 years ago, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, you were there live, Jim?
In 16, yeah.
At CPAC.
Oh my goodness. I'm so jealous.
Jim, I'm surprised they let you in.
Lots of money.
Did they know who you were? All right. So what's that like being at CPAC, Jim?
It is, you know, it's like political overdrive. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there, and everybody was either in hate Trump category or love Trump category. CPAC.
Now, was this the year he was, before he was elected or when he was elected?
The election year in 16.
Yeah, they weren't really certain if they liked him or not at that moment, remember? He was really...
Not at all.
Yeah.
Even though he had the nomination, they were still, you know, everybody was circling the wagon.
In fact, there was a lot of talk in the news that they may poo-poo him at the CPAC, remember? They were going to boo him, and there was a lot of friction, of course, you know, and of course the orgasmic CNN left, where they were just in the orgasmic stratosphere, huh?
They were looking for a lynching. You know, CNN, anytime they can smell the blood in the water, they'll go after people.
It seems like they like Trump a lot. It seems like, Ava, seems like the whatever you want to call CPAC, we'll call them the conservative movement rather than the Republican establishment. Although, what's the difference between the two, Ava?
Well, I think the CPAC crowd includes a lot of millennials, a lot of younger people that are up and coming conservatives. Okay. And they seem to be embracing Trump just tremendously from what I'm observing here. I think he's playing right into their interests. You know, he's joking about himself,
right,
which is
right.
Self-deprecating. It's quite adorable to see him do that, actually. I like it.
Well, he's kind of good at, he's become good at that, you know, and that's good when you can do that and self-deprecate. Jim McKay does it all the time, so we understand what that is as a strategy goes. We understand that, Ava, as a theory.
The Scotsman again.
Yeah, you know, we understand that. All right, one of the most interesting things I seen was the, Secretary of Energy, Mr. Rick Perry, you know? And yes. I laugh every time, and I got to share with you both up front here, I'm sure most people can relate to this, most Americans can relate to the fact,
I laugh every time I see his title and I see his position as Secretary of Energy, which, of course, we know that Texas is, you know, a really hub of energy and all. We get that. But the reason I always chuckle inside, because that's the department he couldn't remember at the debate. Remember?
Yeah.
Do you think Trump was just getting even with him by making him Secretary of Energy? Do you think that? I wonder. Was that kind of his medicine?
I've always loved Rick Perry.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about Rick Perry is that he's just himself. I mean, I think what
he's
you see is what you get with him.
He's goofy. He's goofy. He looks like an older Clark Kent.
Yes.
You know? And I was wondering if he's going to rip off the jacket and the Superman underneath there or something, guys, you know?
Well, that's Tom. Well,
he was a Superman in Texas as governor. I mean, he did a great job
as governor.
I thought at 16 he was going to come out and just, you know, wow everybody going across the country in the primaries. But he just froze on stage. I mean, he turned into, you know, Mr. Mumbles or.
Nobody was worse than Gary Johnson, though. He didn't even know what Aleppo was. Come on.
Remember that, Aleppo?
Oh,
that was hysterical.
Yeah.
We got a lot of miles out of that on radio, by the way, Aleppo. Yeah. He had no idea. What is that again? Is that a disease of some sort? No, I don't have that Aleppo stuff, man.
What's Aleppo? Right. What's Aleppo?
He never lived that down, did he? I mean, he just carried that all the way through. I mean, all right, so what's the goal of CPAC? Let's tell everybody, if you're not familiar with CPAC, what is it and what's the real ultimate goal? This is like a bonding session, isn't it? It's just like where we all get together and we, right? So what happens, Ava? What do we expect to happen?
You want to know the official goal of CPAC or the reality goal of CPAC?
Well, okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. The official goal is to come out with elements of the Republican platform.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To drive forward where things are going, and it's the conservative platform that they're advocating.
Okay.
Just follow the name. But the reality is it's a lot of bonding, a lot of friendships come out, a lot of contacts across the country, because you get people from all over. It's, you know, depending on where it's held, it's typically dominated by those regions. But there's people that go every year, and you meet these people and, develop some friendships. And
okay, so what's the reality of it now? What's the real lowdown?
So
getting a selfie taken with Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, do you like Ben Shapiro?
Oh, I find him intriguing. He's outspoken. He's very outspoken.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by him.
You're intrigued by him, yeah. Jim, what do you think? Is he for real or is he put on?
He's a smart young man who has a lot of good things to say.
Okay.
He's very, very eloquent and very factual how he speaks about things. So he's a power. I mean, I would like to see him in, you know, a more active role in the party.
All right, did you see that he is possibly going to buy the Blaze, Glenn Beck's the Blaze? Did you see that?
Yes.
Is that a confirmation or is that just speculation, or do you think that was real, that story?
Oh, I think that's real.
That's real news, not fake news? No?
Yeah, that's real.
Okay. That'd be interesting. Now, Glenn Beck is sort of off the scene. What's up with that boy? Does anybody have any idea?
I think he did too much crying, for one thing.
What is it with him? I mean, he's just sensitive, emotional, over-emotional, or has he got a couple of screws loose?
I think, you know, when he had that 5 o'clock slot on Fox, he was a powerhouse. And then something happened to him, drove him off the edge, and then he got, you know, left Fox and went further down the cliff. Since then, he's slipped a widget someplace, I think.
Yeah, well, he seems to be not a news story anymore here. Well, listen, the big story coming out of CPAC has got to be the gun debate and the school shooting, guys, okay? That's the big conversation.
Yeah.
And Trump sort of addressed that up front at CPAC. He sort of got into it a little bit, put it out there. Let's talk about that a moment. One of the news stories today is the governor of the great state of Florida, Rick Scott, came out. Did you see what he said?
What?
He said he wants to have armed police officers at every school in the state. That's number one. Armed police officers. This is what he wants. The second thing he wants to raise the age to 21 to purchase a firearm in the state of Florida. What do you think?
You know, that's nothing radical at all, because California has had police auxiliary, which are armed, on school campuses. Either depending whether it's smaller elementary schools or the high schools, either all day or partial day for years.
Right.
And they were very much behind for the longest time until the ban was lifted.
All right, but this is a real big debate. Now, Avery, if you've been following this a little bit, you hear what Jim says, okay, like in California. Well, we know California, they do things a little differently out there. We get that. But this debate about, first of all, armed people, because schools are really gun-free zones. It's one of these gun-free zone things, you know. It's like your local cafe. You're not supposed to have a gun in there or in church, which really becomes sit and ducks, you know, and they advertise that. Like, it's so silly. It's like a neon sign, you know? I mean, criminals welcome, because we don't carry guns here. So, I mean, it's the silliest thing I've ever seen, Jim. I mean, it doesn't make any logical sense.
I've always wondered, what do the police do when they go in for donuts and coffee? Do they check their guns, or they just leave them in the car?
No, I think police are accepted. They can carry them, as far as I understand. Is that right, Ava? I think they can carry them, I believe.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Actually, I think if you want a solution for this school security, all you need to do is look at what Israel does. They don't have school shootings there, you notice. And if there's any kind of disturbance at all, the person who causes it is usually dead. So, I mean, in Israel, they don't advertise who's carrying or who's doing.
But the teachers are armed in Israel is what's happening. Certain teachers are armed.
Almost everybody in Israel is armed. I don't know if you look at my Twitter feed, but I have a photograph of a young woman walking down a street in Israel with an AR strapped to her back.
Yeah, I seen that picture, actually. Yeah.
And I put that there for a reason, because I want you to understand that there is a level of safety when everyone carries, okay?
All right. Well, listen, here's what I want to do. I want to get back to that. I want to get back to this gun debate a little bit more, because with the governor coming out of Florida, this is going to be a really, really contentious, hot debate. And I'm talking about the one piece I want to peel again ahead here is this age 21, guys, because the Republican Party cannot agree on this at all. I mean, they are all over the place. And if you've seen some of the recent conversations, Ava, Jim, you're seeing that everybody is against this. A lot of them are against raising the age. They want to keep it 18, because they say, well, you can't buy a beer, so why should you be able to get a gun? You shouldn't be able to get an AR-15, but you know how the conversation goes.
Yeah, but you can be sent to Iraq, though,
right.
And you can fight in the
that's,
army.
That's a little that's a whole lot different, though, because being sent to Iraq, mm-hmm. one, you're going to be go through at least basic training in the military and then combat training in the military,
right.
Plus you're going to have people supervising you 100% of the time, and yet there's been, friendly shootings in the military.
Okay.
It's happened, and nobody denies that it hasn't happened. And and there's enough bad guys that they can aim their guns at, and they do fire off enough rounds that
they're maybe. But that argument of age is going to be a big deal. We'll discuss that more a little bit later here. What I want to do next, I want to talk about the myriad of investigations coming out of Washington, D.C. But before we do that, Ava, take 15 seconds to tell people who you are.
I am an author, and I'm on Amazon exclusively. I write thrillers and romance, and I have a children's series. And I'm also a producer on America Out Loud and for the Viewpoint This Sunday show.
Yeah. So you do a whole children's books too?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, cool. I got to check that out. Jim, take 14 seconds and tell us who you are, please.
Okay. I'm call me an ex high tech industrialist. I worked in the high tech industries for almost all of the major big companies, mm-hmm. and then in biotech and pharmaceuticals. So other than that, I'm now semi-retired. I do a little bit of consulting work and also a co-producer on the America Out Loud Network.
Now. Okay. All right. Beautiful thing. All right. Well, listen, what we do here is what I understand the producer just told me in my ear here a moment ago is that we've been able to locate some, I don't know how this happens, but sometimes this happens on radio this way here, but we've been able to locate evidently the best friend of the British spy, Christopher Steele. I don't know how it happened, but it happens. And we got his best friend, Christopher Steele. He's been in the news like nonstop friends. So when Aver, if you'll stay with me, I want to come back and I want to get this Christopher Steele best friend on. More Nozzle in a minute. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. news blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Christopher, he's been a man, you know, he's a member of the what they used to call the Kingsmen, and gets around on that pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great flick. I've seen that movie before. Hey, Ava, this is, so evidently what I understand from the producers, this is not Chris. I thought for a moment they actually gave me Chris, but it's not Chris, but it is his best friend. What's the biggest question you'd like to ask Christopher Steele's best friend?
Havisham, you dunce.
Havisham.
Is that your name? Is that your name?
Havisham.
Havisham.
James Havisham.
James. We'll call you James. Havisham is a mouthful, so we'll call him James, Ava. So ask James, what's the biggest question you want to ask Chris's best friend, James?
I would like to know if he's into golden showers.
Golden showers? Oh, boy.
My lady, what are you asking me about?
Are you saying, does he pee while having sex? Is that what you're asking here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Christopher Steele wrote an awful lot about that stuff, so I'm thinking...
Did he?
Maybe this guy is his friend and he's, you know...
Well, that's a good question, James. Did Christopher Steele, yes. did he, as your best friend, did he ever pee on you?
Not to my knowledge. I might have been out cold sometime, but you never know.
You never know. Could have happened. Ava, have you read his books?
No, I have not.
Okay, so how do you know about the Golden
Shower
business?
Does he know how to write?
All I know is the dossier.
Right.
Said something about Trump having, how do I say this, urinating on a bed that Barack Obama had slept on. And I know if it were me, I probably would have done that. So.
Wow. I'm speechless, friends. Speechless. totally speechless, man. So Christopher Steele is the British spy who created this dossier, and he created the dossier which he's been paid. Now, in fact, how much, James, do you think he made from this dossier? I wonder how much money.
I think it was about £2 million, and you know that's more than your dollar, so.
About £2 million.
Quite a bit.
Translate that for me into U.S. dollars.
British sterling.
British pounds. I got it. So how many dollars is that?
British sterling.
$10 million.
Is that an educated guess, or are you just rubbing us?
No, that's word on the street.
Oh, okay. So $10 million. So he made a chunk of change then, creating this fake dossier. And this was all fake, evidently. So, James, what I want to know is he in hiding right now? Because we're not hearing him at all. It's like he's crawled under a rock of some sort. Is he still around, or what's happened?
He's probably under the pub in that bar where he is. He's under the table.
James, are you under the table?
I think he's under the table.
Mr. Habanash, okay. Well, we've lost Chris's friend, James. You know, I do find it interesting, Ava, what's happened with this, with this Christopher Steele business. I mean, I'm wondering, now, first of all, do you think charges are going to be brought up on him? Do you think he's going to be charged?
Well, the FBI is actually seeking him right now. There's a warrant out for Christopher Steele, so I wouldn't want to be Christopher Steele right now. I really wouldn't.
So there's an actual warrant.
Yes.
But are they going to extradite him, or what will, no, they won't extradite him, will they?
His whereabouts are not known at this time, but I'm sure at some point he will surface. And
well, if we get to talk to James again, Habanash there, I'd like to know if he knows what happened there, you know, maybe he could tell us or something. But so he is kind of, all right, interesting. So he's not out in public view because nobody's had an interview with this man. Now, that would be a great, great interview, by the way. I mean, whoever can get him. Has he been in front of the camera at all? Has anybody ever interviewed him? Because I haven't seen him.
No, he's like a mystery man. You know, he's a former MI6 guy, so, you know.
Well, that's why they call him a spy, right? Because spies don't normally interview. I mean, they don't normally come to
the... He's a secret agent, and he's probably living in New Zealand or somewhere by now. I mean, I just have a feeling he's, you know, he's left the UK. I have a feeling.
That he's left the party somehow, yeah.
Yeah. He knows. He knows that the jig is up. I mean, you know, he's being looked at... by the FBI. They want to interview him.
Well, so, I'm sure they do. Why wouldn't they? I mean, he's at the center of all of this conversation and debate, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
But even more interesting are the upcoming, the things that are teeing up in the background that we're not really,
okay,
you know, seeing on mainstream media very much. We've got Devin Nunes, who's actually looking at James Clapper's testimony from early, you know, spring of 2016, when he talked about a dossier. Now, apparently, these people all knew about this, and they claim that, you know, they didn't know about it. So there's a lot of ambiguities, let's say.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, listen, I know we lost connection with the James Habanash guy, but I think we got Jim McKay back. Jim, are you there?
What happened?
We couldn't connect you. We were talking to this James Habanash, Chris Steele's best friend, I guess, and we never did find out where he was. Evidently, he's in hiding or something. I don't know what it is, my friend. But
they duck out when the satellites go.
Yeah, of course. Well, again, I was just asking Ava, has he been on camera at all? I've never seen the man filmed or anything, but evidently, Ava says he's not, right? He's in hiding.
Now, he hides from, he still does a lot of undercover work.
Okay, let's talk about this investigation now. What I want to talk about with Mueller, Special Counsel Mueller, did you see today that there was more charges against Gates?
So that's something I didn't see yet.
That is brand new news. That is breaking news here, brand new. So Gates is now, there's more, did you say excellent, Ava?
Yes.
Oh, you don't like Gates?
Well, I just want to see all this come out. I want the truth.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Okay.
I'm a little confused. Is that Bill Gates from Microsoft or the Gates from the government?
No, this is Gates that worked for Manafort. Is that correct, Ava?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Gates. But could be related to Bill Gates, actually, Jim.
I'd like to see both of them in jail for what they've done.
Who, Bill Gates or the other guys?
Both Bill and whatever the other guy.
Well, what did Bill do? Bill didn't do anything. He's out trying to solve, the Mulgaria thing or something.
Oh, he's bitching because he has too much money.
He's just such a problem to have.
Well, God.
Again, if we polled right now everybody in the 1%, you know how miserable they would all be? See, money does not fix anything, kids.
Yes, it does.
What does it fix, Jim?
Oh, it helps lots of things. It keeps my boat afloat and my house clean and everything like that.
Air plot.
All right. Well, we've been corrected then.
Charter jets. Yeah.
Well, Ava and I are struggling artists, so we don't know what that life is. We're not a jet setter like you, Mr. McKay. Right, Ava?
Yes. He's living the life in the lap of luxury right now.
Yeah, in a hospital rehab center. He's doing a hell of a job.
I was going to say, tied to a bed and not by beautiful women either.
So. I know. Well, we got to tell everybody, poor Jim. I mean, he's been in a hospital and a rehab center. He had a bit of an accident some time ago. We're going to tell the story on radio at some point on America Out Loud, but it's a true story. I'm not making that up, right, Jim?
And it'll bore America to death.
You're a hero. Knock it off. You're our hero. You're Ava and mine. You're our hero, right,
yeah.
Ava?
I grow up, I want to be like Jim McKay.
You're our Clark Kent, Jim. You're our Clark Kent, buddy. We admire you and everything you've been through. So now it's a true story. All right, let's get back to this criminal activities here of the government. We only have so much time here, friends.
The Democrats have now coalesced, for lack of a better word, around this, we're going to defeat Trump, get him out of office, some way or another, prove that he's not fit for president.
Right. Well, they've tried everything.
They'll try everything, yeah. And, they're not going to have the numbers for impeachment, especially during the first term. Won't happen, even if they were to take a majority at the in the election year we're in. Mm-hmm. They still, because it's big numbers. You only need a simple majority in the House to get articles of impeachment, but there's no way it's going to get through the Senate, where I think it's either 2/3 or 75% of the Senate to impeach a president. But so that's not going to happen.
Speaking of which, Jim, what do you think happens at the midterm election, by the way? We're starting to get, I mean, you can feel, everyone's starting to talk about the 2018 midterm. What's your prediction? Yeah. Because typically in the midterm, again, as we know, whoever's in power, they lose more power, and the opposing party typically picks up seats, and you can actually flip the House or the Senate in a midterm. What happens? Do the Republicans hold on to these at this point, as a crystal ball say, or do you think they take it?
I think it's going to be a bigger shock than the 16 election. I think that they'll hold the House, mm-hmm. not by a big number, but, you know, 10, maybe 15 seats. They'll lose some there. But the Senate, they're going to pick up 10 to 12 seats.
Wow.
Democrats have to defend, I think it's 26 seats.
Right, a lot.
And in 10 of them are in neighborhoods or neighborhoods, that Trump won.
He won. Handled
a lot of the states he carried by 15 and 20%.
Right, exactly.
So there's a lot of positive. I mean, look at Trump's numbers are all up. I mean, since the tax cut went through,
right,
and now he's going to take a stance on this gun control thing. That's going
to. If he does, now back to that, and I want to get back to that gun control now, because, Jim, that's a great point to make. These things are kind of setting up right now. It's very interesting, Ava, mm-hmm. Jim, the way the cards are playing, okay? Because if you look at this right now, we are still a ways off from November, from the midterm. But yet you look at, okay, immigration, now this gun problem, the school shooting, that created a very interesting dilemma here, which could become a tremendous opportunity for the movement to be able to fix this problem of guns and this big debate of gun control and this bigger debate of school shooting safety, you know, and it's beyond schools too, guys. I mean, you get any kind of public venue is in trouble here. It's not just schools, Ava, Jim. It's anything,
anywhere. So many soft targets out there.
It's soft targets. That's the way to look at it. Soft targets. I mean, churches, movie theaters, you name it. But certainly schools are high on our priority list for obvious reasons. Here's the thing. Immigration in one corner. Are they going to be able to ignore that much longer? The Democrats don't want to play ball with that because they don't want the problem fixed. Let's be clear. If they fix the problem, that's going to be a huge feather. I mean, it's going to be a flock of feathers in Trump's hat. Going in, and the Republicans going into the 2018 midterm. Let's call it as we see it. So they don't want to fix immigration. So the big question I have for you two, number one, two-part questions. Does immigration happen between now and November, any part of it? Or are the Democrats successful with staving it off? Okay, now, that's number one. And number two, what happens with the gun control debate? Because it's hard for anybody. And again, I can see right now the Democrats are probably in back rooms, guys, and they're probably saying, oh, my God, this Trump wants to fix this. What are we going to do? I mean, he literally is talking about raising the age. Oh, man, he's talking about arming these people. He wants to really solve the gun problem. This is not good, guys. That's what I see happening in the back rooms, guys, you know, as well as on immigration. So what happens with those two? Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, he's by making these moves with the gun control thing, he's making a concession to the Democrats. OK, and by doing that, he's winning over some people, moderates in that party. And he's also, by his immigration policy is actually very sound. He offered them, I mean, that 1.8 million is a tremendous number. I cannot believe these people didn't take that deal. But the thing is, the Democrats have now shot themselves in the foot on the DACA thing. Now the DACA thing will be hung around their neck if they don't compromise with Trump. Now they came through with a bill, and they said that the Democrats wanted, they had no funding for the wall, no border security, no ending of the visa lottery, no ending of chain migration.
Okay.
And they go to Trump for that. Now Trump looked at him and said, well, what is this? This isn't a deal. Okay. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So again, they're stalled. Okay. Now, if they wait much longer, March 5 is coming right up, and the DACA will have to either be renewed again or it will expire, and these people will be deported.
Well, now talk to me on the deport. Do you really see them being deported, and how's that going to work? I mean, right now, you've got sanctuary cities and states popping up all over the place. So, Jim, what happens to that? Will they be deported?
Okay, I know. I agree with Ava on the whole situation with Trump. He's holding all the cards. He is the master of the deal, and he has set the Democrats up, because what he'll do now with this gun control, he'll give a he'll give them the 21 age thing, which is not a really as big a deal as everybody thinks it is. He'll also give them the assault weapon ban and the bump stocks, and you know, and throw that all together. And whether he does it by executive order or he does it through congressional law, whatever way he does it, that'll happen. Then he's perfectly set up, because he can go out and said, now I don't want the chain immigration anymore. And if they're not going to pass it, then he forces McConnell to go to a simple majority vote in the Senate and rams it through. He does the same thing with the lottery. He does the same thing with the wall. And then he lets them piss until the year end election over DACA.
Wow.
He says, you guys, this is your argument. It's your bill. Wow. If you can't get together on it and pass it, I'm not going to help you any longer.
Exactly.
You guys have yourselves.
Well, that's a hell of a prediction, Jim McKay.
I think he has a really strong position on it. I mean, he spoke very positively today at CPAC about, you know, better gun controls, and especially also the big issue there is screening, you know, screening applicants and
right.
how you do that.
Right.
Yeah,
for background checks. Jim, explain.
There are loopholes. And one of the loopholes that this Florida guy skated through, the domestic charge that he had, I don't know if you realize he beat the living crap out of this boyfriend that was dating his former girlfriend.
Who did? Who beat the living crap? Who?
The Florida shooter.
Oh, he did? He did, right. Yeah, he had a problem.
So there was this huge domestic charge. Now, that's not put on your, I don't know what you call it, your record, all right? But it would be if he had lived with the woman, okay? But if you're not living in the same residence as the woman that you just beat the crap out of, then that's not put on your record.
Is that right, Ava? I did not know that. Is that a federal thing, a state thing?
I can't make this crap up. Okay?
Ava, is that federal or state, or do you know anything more about that? I've never heard of that.
I believe it's probably a state law. But
so the lesson for us guys is don't beat the woman who lives with you, but you can beat other people up. It's okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
And apparently, I'm also learning.
Jim, who are you beating up, Jim? Jim, are you don't beat the wife up, you said.
No, absolutely not. But in her defense, I've broken a few noses. And you don't want to be, you want to always let them swing and hit or come close to hitting you first. And then you can.
Self-defense. Reasonable. We got to let Ava finish that thought. Go ahead,
Ava. There's one other disturbing little aspect to this that really bothers me.
That's it.
Nowadays, policing is much different than it has been, thanks to Obama. And the police are very much hamstrung, believe it or not. They are actually told to keep a certain quota of people of color. We kind of take it easy on them, okay? If anybody has any ethnicity, then they're kind of let off the hook a lot of the time.
You know, you two are always blaming poor Obama for everything. I got to stand up for the man. It's just not fair.
Get some officers on here and have them talk about what community policing is like now compared to what it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, actually, we're going to have those officers on Viewpoint this Sunday, Ava, so people can tune in there. But go ahead.
Yep. And it's just the police are really at odds with this stuff. And I'm not trying to let them skate free here on this, but I'm just trying to explain to you, they are operating in a whole different world. I just heard something. Now, this is another interesting little piece, body cams, right? Now, for years and years, we've been hearing all these victims, you know, the victim mentality. We want police to have body cams. Police are bad, right? Now, if you, Malcolm, are picked up by a policeman and something on the policeman's body cam actually shows you committing a felony or a crime or any kind of bad thing, now the victim can say they don't want that to be used in court, the guy that was filmed, okay? So if you're committing a bad act and the policeman captures it on his body camera, okay?
Right.
You can actually go into court as a bad guy and say, I don't want that used in a
court. Are you saying because it is caught on their body cam, that's the reason, their cameras, because it's caught
that's
on
right.
them? So who came up with that rule? Where does that come from?
It goes back to like...
Is that Obama?
If you go into a business place, they always have to have it posted that you're being filmed.
Okay.
And there's the expectation of privacy is therefore waived. Now, policemen having the body cam, if they would have to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you're fighting, but I have a body cam on. You have no reasonable right of privacy any longer, can be used against you in court, you know, kind of like Mirandizing yourself before you arrest somebody or get involved. It's not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. So what the attorneys are doing is they're turning it around on the police. Mm-hmm. They're saying that evidence was obtained illegally and can't be used in court.
But once you have a body cam, if you've got the guy already arrested, then they're not going to be able to do anything bad. Are you talking about if you arrive on the scene and the body cam catches that? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what Ava's saying also. If you catch somebody in the act and it's being filmed on body cam, they're saying, because that automatic teller that he's breaking into has a little disclosure statement on it that you're being filmed. So that's how they get away with it.
Oh, I see, because that you're being warned in advance, right?
Warned in advance.
Okay. What if the police officers have a sign on their body that says you're being filmed in advance on their shirts or something, Jim?
That's what it's going to come to.
Yeah. Put it right on their pocket. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Then in San Francisco, it'll have to be in 21 different languages. Right.
But Ava, what's wrong with that? Put it right on their pocket. You know, that's cool.
Well, the only reason I even found out about this was the guys in my town are getting body cams, okay?
Okay.
And I talked to my local...
What did they do? Catch you in the act of doing something and you had the same
problem?
Is that what happened?
I'm a good girl. But I actually hang out with them and talk to them frequently. They're all about town. And, you know, they're very disappointed that they could catch a crime on their body cam, but they can't use it in a court of law. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how crazy this is, you know. It just is, it's insanity to me. That's pure insanity.
And you call this community policing. I got to ask, I'll ask them on Viewpoint, the experts, and see what they say about this community policing. And just say, whose fault is this? Is this Obama again, or is this someone else? Who did this?
It's Obama, because he's the one that instituted the policies. It was during the Baltimore stuff and all the
that Baltimore scene was unbelievable.
You want a real fun city, go hang out in Baltimore.
Oh, I wouldn't move to Baltimore. If you gave me free this, free that, free the other with a Mercedes attached to it, I wouldn't go there.
It was actually the combination of Holder and Obama. Holder's doing the same thing now to Los Angeles and to California, where Jerry Brown put him on the payroll.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the chief poobah out there or something? The chief poobah?
Yeah, chief attorney for illegals and I don't know, whatever else they are.
Why do Californians allow this to continue to go on? I don't know. I just don't get it. Why they even continue to elect the same clowns? And it can't be a good quality of life.
The thing that's really alarming is President Trump said that he's thinking of pulling ICE out of California.
I've seen that. That is very interesting, Jim. With no ICE, I mean, you know, with no ICE, you can't have any cocktails yet. Yeah, be more nozzle in just a minute, friends.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So what else is on your mind? What else is hot in the news today? What's trending?
There's the Olympics, but
Have any of you watched the Olympics, Jim?
Yeah, well, you can't avoid it. I mean, you know, they rerun the same event 14 times a day, and you don't catch 90% of them because they're on some bizarre cable channel somewhere.
Well, the really big news is the Twitter purge that took place a day before yesterday. So,
did anybody get hurt with that when you say purge? Did anybody get hurt?
They popped off 2,000 of my followers, and they also dropped me down to following only 20 people. So it took me 48 hours pretty much to get back to normal.
Wow.
How? You mean you called every 48,000 of your followers and got them back on?
Well, I have Russian bots that do that for me.
Yeah, I hear that. She's the gal of Russian bots. Yeah. All right. Let's talk a minute about, now that you brought it up here, about this Twitter thing, and because it's been pretty hot on our radar screen, Jim, Ava, myself.
And this only happened to conservatives, by the way.
What's behind it all?
It's basically what we've seen in the general media, where 90% or more of the general media, you know, the ABC stations and stuff, they're all liberal. They're all run by liberal organizations. It's a power thing. I mean, with, you know, Comcast owns NBC and this guy, Disney owns ABC. They're all consolidated in mega corporations. They only have one single viewpoint, and it's all about maintaining power. And now social media is the biggest of all the media outlets that are out there, with millions and millions of people with unlimited access, and they don't control it yet, but they're going after it. They're going after it at the sources.
And see, this is my problem with that is, this is the new town square, okay? We're in the town square right now talking amongst ourselves. And when you're on Twitter, that's the new town square. That's where people meet and debate and talk and, you know, bring ideas up and everything else. And, you know, you're allowed to block people you don't want to, you know, converse with, and that's fine. But, you know, for Twitter to actually be constructing this audience, I mean, now they're actually, you know, messing with with who follows you, and, you know, they're shadow banning me, of course, you know, and I'm just a hated person by everybody in Twitter. I even write to Twitter support. You know, I write to them, and, you know, I mean, it's frigging ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Twitter people love you. They love you. All right, I want to ask you on Gab. Now, let's tell people Gab is a new social media. I don't know how long it's been out there, actually active. I don't know if you know, Ava, but it's pretty hot. And it's more of a, how do you describe it? Is it a more of a, it's like Twitter, but is it more of a conservative agenda or not, Ava, or not
there's
really?
There's everything on Gab.
It's like the Wild West of social
media. It's like the Wild West. That's right. A good way to put it. Yes.
Okay. Listen, a couple other topics I want to make sure we get in here. I want to get back to the Olympics in a minute because I have something to say about that. But before we do, Jim, you made a comment a little earlier. I've got to circle back around. You made a comment about the guns, about Trump and guns. Now, let's talk about, I want to get back to the school shoot in a moment and guns in itself. And you made a comment, the fact that you think Trump is going to institute some sort of gun control. Tell me what that looks like specifically. What I'm asking you, the gun part of it. Obviously, they're talking about raising the age, which you, Ava, do you have a problem with raising the age to 21? Yes or no? Is that a problem for you?
I have a problem with it, yeah, because in our Constitution, you can be 18 years old and sent to war and handle an AR. So, I mean, I just think that it's, what you're doing is you have one disturbed guy who's going to ruin it for all normal guys, okay? I don't think that works.
Well, let's stop there. It's more than one disturbed guy. From what I understand, there's been a series of these young people who have done this. That's from what I gather, from what I understand, Ava. So I don't know that it's just one disturbed guy. I think they're worried about it being a whole group of disturbed people. I don't know.
And look at some of the other links these guys have, too. Right. A lot of them play very violent video games that are virtual reality. Exactly. I mean, why are these things being allowed out there?
Well, that's a great question. I wonder if they're going to ban any of that, but that's hot on my list as well, all this violence in the entertainment sector, which is compliments of Hollywood and big business, actually, Jim, you know, that is responsible for all of that.
Totally. I mean, they're, you know, the whole attitude of virtual reality has distorted perceptions for so many young people that it's the only thing they know. They don't go out and play. They don't have close friends. The whole thing to them is a game. And people shooting, you know, shooting people, having them fall over dead is just you push control reset, you play the game over. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. not reality, even though it's, they call it virtual reality, and that's what it is. It's not real.
And then you have people on these mind altering drugs. I mean, these psychotropic drugs that, you know, they're supposedly for depression. They actually amplify the depression.
Absolutely. So, you know, well, that is a common denominator, actually, in all the last previous gun shootings, guys. That's the denominator right there, is the psychotropic drugs. I think there's got to be something done about it. But so tell me about the gun ban itself, Jim. I just want to get back. We got all these pieces, but what do you think because I think if he does anything in relation to the gun part of it, I think he's going to lose a lot of support. Talk to me.
I don't think he'll lose a lot of support. I think that if you go into the designation of what is a military, not military style, but a military weapon, mm-hmm. that doesn't just look like one or feel like one when you pick it up, but one that is capable of firing a high velocity round mm-hmm. of a certain weight and certain size, certain speed, trajectory and everything, and how fast it can fire them and how many it can fire. That is what he's going to ban. He will get some technical people in there and says, oh, we're not just going to ban AR-15s, but this is what we're going to ban.
So it's not going to be a ban of the AR-15 itself, but you think it's going to ban...
It has to be a ban of a military, something that is specifically military use. I mean, because you can have a 9mm pistol that fires 15 rounds semi-automatic.
Will they ban magazines, you think? Some of the magazines and stuff?
Or no, I know they want to. Never.
They're going to ban bump stocks. Yeah.
Never. It doesn't make any sense because you can change magazines so fast on these. It's one button on the side of the gun, slam the next one in, and start shooting again. So it's banning magazines is stupid. But I think a ban on a specific type of weapon combination with the ammunition that's appropriate.
Ava, do you buy that? Do you buy what?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't agree with you either. I don't think they're going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Trump will ban ARs. I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he'll ban the AR anyway. The AR is not that type of a weapon.
Right.
What does it fire? A .223 caliber bullet, which is small.
Yeah.
Right. It's a small bullet. It's not big.
I don't think he's going to do the ban on the gun itself, because I think he knows right away he'll lose so much support.
He's going to do the bump stock thing. But like I said to Jim, all people will do is make their own bump stock.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's
not
going to do anything.
It's going to be meaningless.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything.
What he's going to do, but it will be to make the Democrats a little more complacent with him, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be to bring them over to his side, to win them over, I guess, a little bit.
I guess.
So give them the bump stock thing, okay? And then he might do the age thing, but I don't see, and he'll fortify all the schools with armed people there to protect these kids.
Well, that's what's going to happen. There's definitely going to be, schools are not going to be in those gun zone
anymore. Here's the question.
Anymore.
Here's the big question, okay? Here's the elephant in the room nobody wants to talk about. Who's going to pay for this, okay? And how are we going to pay for it? We're going to have to ratchet back something in that school system. And I say it's going to have to be extracurricular activities, okay? You know, you're not going to be having, like, you know, every sport in the world is going to be played.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't think we ratchet that back. I think that's too important. I think we take a piece of all of the politician's salary, all the congressional people, we take some of their salary to pay for it.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
They can all just donate like 20% or something, Jim. What's wrong with that?
Let me speak from experience on that, particularly when... When I was living in California,
how long did you live in California?
Oh, God, 21, 22 years.
See, that's why you're partly screwed up. All right, now I understand.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I know, it's this creeping mentality that that just diffuses your brain.
I love California. Go ahead.
I got appointed, a friend of mine that I played cards with on Friday night was superintendent of schools, and there was an opening on the school board. I got appointed to it because he needed somebody, some dodo to fill in, you know? And I think I had one too many scotches that night, so I volunteered. But we had the same kind of an issue. There had been a couple of things going on with some kids with backpacks with firearms in them. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they went to the city and said, okay, we need a police presence on the campus. Mm-hmm. And we need it in the morning when the kids are coming to school. We'd like to have a little bit of it at lunchtime. And we'd like to have it in the afternoon when kids are leaving school, because that's when there's the most transient traffic with vehicles and stuff. The police department looked at it and said, yeah, a lot of our guys aren't busy at that time of day. We'll be glad to send them over.
There you go.
And that's what it amounts to. And the other thing they did was on the high schools, they locked down the campuses at lunchtime.
All right.
And said they put gates on the parking lot so the kids couldn't take their cars and drive off and go into town and do that. And people couldn't drive in. So basically, they didn't put fences up around the schools because in some places it was impossible to do.
Okay.
But what they did do is they made a very visible armed police presence in the mornings and in the afternoons when people were coming and going. This guy who went on the campus, he knew exactly when to come to school, 10 minutes before school's getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, everybody's going to be out there.
Yeah, you're actually sounding better health-wise. You're feeling better, aren't you?
Huh? Yeah, I'm feeling better.
This is actually about as normal as I've heard you talk. I mean, you're actually sounding better. I'm amazed, blown away.
We've backed off on the drugs.
Yeah, I can tell. No, I can tell. This is actually more you. You were actually making more sense when you were on the drugs, though, Jim. I don't know. You may want to take a look at that, buddy. All right, let me ask you. So bottom line is, can Ava, can Jim, can Malcolm, can we all agree that this Parkland shooting, this massacre that happened, is definitely a turning point of school shootings in America?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay, Jim's all right, Jim.
I hedge my bets on it. I think that it all depends what happens in the next 10 days.
All right. Well, I agree. But I think that you're going to find that this was a turning point. Something's different this time.
I hope to God it makes us look at what Israel's doing in their schools.
Sure, sure.
And I hope we do follow their lead.
Well,
because have it right. They have it right.
Ava, I think what anybody can get out of our newscast today is this, and I'm very serious when I say this to both of you, that if you follow everything we've talked about here, guys, for real, whether it's immigration, whether it's gun control, whether it's CPAC, whether it's, you know, the sanctuary city business, the one problem with all of this is that, I mean, think about it. Politicians, everything we've talked about is politically incentivized by politics. So nobody, they're not, I mean, the sad state of this is, you know, you think these people were up there to really solve your problems out there, but they really are not. They really are there to gain their own prestige and their political power, because every big problem we throw on the burner, do you see how we have to hash it left versus right?
Totally. But we need to, but you know what, Malcolm, we need to contact our representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Almost daily, okay? Do it often.
That's true.
Email these people. Call these people. Tell them what you want.
Democrats and Republican alike, right, Ava?
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You better believe it.
Yeah, both sides of the political party. But you see, that's what's really sick about all this. Because what we've just decided is you could solve all of these problems. They're solvable. They just don't want to solve. I made that statement a half hour ago that, you know, immigration, they're probably not going to want to do anything because it's going to be too much of a feather in the cap of the president. So you see, whether or not they solve the problem is based on, is it going to look good for their party or help the other political party out? And how sad is that? Guys, from a standpoint of really, I'm serious about news, and it means that our entire political structure is being handicapped and sabotaged by all these political, misfits, and all of these people were elected in office. So it's pretty, pretty sad. Listen, real quickly here, let's get on to some real fast in the last few moments here. The Olympics. Is anybody watching the Olympics, and is anybody enjoying the Olympics, you guys?
I've watched a little bit of it, but not a lot.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, usually you can put on the 6 o'clock news, and they're going to run the premier events in 3 minutes, and you're going to get the same thing that NBC is going to take 4 hours in the evening to cover.
Right.
And you're always, And what they do is they're going to tell you who won. So it takes.
That's true. There's a lot of that's the problem with the time zone change and all of that. Well, listen, I want to give also a shout out to the women's hockey team in the USA.
Oh, right.
They won the gold, man.
Yes.
Man, they won the gold. I mean, that's killer. That's a killer thing. That was awesome. That was truly awesome. Listen, Ava, give me your predictions.
I think that the 2018 midterms are going to be a blowout. For the Republicans. The Republicans are going to gain so many seats in the House and the Senate.
Okay.
And I think Donald Trump is going to be an amazingly constructive president.
Okay. All right.
He will help heal this country. He will help heal it.
All right. Jim, what is your predictions? Your predictions can be on anything you want. So what are your predictions?
Okay. I'm going to go also with the 18 elections. I think the Republicans, if things go as I think they will wind up with 62 Senate seats when they're done, and they'll maintain a narrow margin in the House. And Trump will kick ass for the next 2 years after that.
Yes.
So he's going to kick ass for the next, he'll be reelected and he'll be swim right through then, huh?
From 18 to 20, the agenda will be driven through. The Democrats will just lick their wounds and whine on the side, and Schumer will be gone. Pelosi will be gone.
Joe Biden will run for president in 2020.
Who will? Biden? Yeah. Jim, do you think they'll lick their wounds or lick their wine? Which one did you see? I was lost with what you said there.
there'll be a lot of whining going on and a lot of calls for replacement of a lot of people in Democratic
Party. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's
big this year. The Democrats are cooked.
Here's the big breaking news, Malcolm. The Democrats need to look into their own election meddling, okay? Here's a news breaker. Democrats, you had your own candidate, Bernie Sanders, taken out by, you know, very nefarious means, all right? And they need to look into their own election meddling in their own primary.
Well, they clearly had a lot of that. And by the way, a lot of people are saying what would be a dynamic ticket for the Democratic Party would be Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. That would be like a phenomenal ticket, they say. Yeah. So I'll leave you with that thought, friends, as we nozzle off here. But that gives you a lot to think about here.